Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Could you tell from Justin's children's sermon what the sermon might be about today? If you're guessing love, you probably guessed right. You win the prize. Except I think all Cynthia's cookies are gone. I feel bad about that, but I also feel full. Anyway, Jesus tells us to love God with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength. And he says, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, on these two commandments, everything depends. The law and the prophets. In other words, on these two commandments, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. If you can keep those, you're keeping the Ten Commandments. You're keeping everything in the Old Testament. Now, for the Apostle Paul, Christians, that's you and me, and a lot of others, must conduct ourselves, must live our lives in Christ and in love. We love Christ with the love that he himself gave to us. We love each other, again, with the love that comes from God. None of it originates with us. It all comes from God. So we conduct ourselves in Christ and in love. And the Apostle Paul goes on to reassure the Roman Christians, as well as us, that the manifestation of love for one another is a form of fulfilling the entire law. If love dominates our existence, then all the do's and the don'ts of the law are fulfilled. Love is the way that faith works itself out. And we know, good Lutherans that we are, we're saved by grace through faith. And our faith exhibits itself as love. Love for one another. Love for God. And that becomes the deeds of which James writes in the book of the same name, I, by my deeds, will show you my faith. Now, we can talk all we want about what great Christians we are and how much we love each other. But unless we're doing it, it's simply talk. We're to love one another. To love one another. And the Greek word used is agape. That really overriding concern for the well-being of other people. For the Christian, that is for you and me, living by faith works itself out through love. And that fulfills the aspiration of all those who have tried to live by the commandments, by the law. Frankly, you can't do that. No man could. Jesus did, and he's the first. You and I are to love one another. And by this, the commandments are fulfilled. If you love one another, you can do no harm to your neighbor or to anyone else. The obligation to love, do you feel like you're obliged to love? Like you're obligated to love? You ever feel that way? I don't think I have for a long time, but there may have been times when I was young where I didn't really like somebody and I really didn't want to love them. But I remember my mom telling me, you don't have a choice here, buddy. You're to love. Period. And of course, at the time, I didn't really have a good understanding as to just what that meant. I knew I loved my mom and my dad and my brother and my sister, and later my baby brother. I loved my grandparents, but beyond that, might have loved a girl or two at school, but I didn't really understand it. You know, to me, it was that romantic love, or maybe for my siblings, brotherly love. So what is love? Well, that overriding concern for another person, a concern that wants the best for someone else, even if it's at the expense of yourself. So the obligation to love, it's there, but in the same token, it's new every morning, just like the light of day. It doesn't go away. That's what we're to do. We're to love one another. Now, love, some people say, well, it's a debt. Well, it is and it isn't. The love is one debt that is never paid off. You can look at it that way. No matter how much you have loved somebody or loved in general, you're not done. You're to continue to love like that. You are under an obligation to love, to keep on loving. It's never paid off. It never ends. Love, however, is not owed. It's the outward, open concern that a person has for someone else. It doesn't depend on what that person has done for you or hasn't done for you or will do for you. You are obligated to love that person, period. There's really nothing to discuss. So this could really be a short sermon. But you're not that lucky. I love you guys, but not that much. Anyway, love really isn't a debt that a person owes to somebody else. It's not quid pro quo. I give you my love, whether you do something for me in return or not. And if you do, fine. If you don't, that's fine too. I love you not because of something that I'm hoping to get from you, other than Cynthia's cookies. Now, that could be another matter. You know, as Pastor Scott put it last week, you and I, brothers and sisters, live by unity. We live in unity. Not uniformity, unity. This means we're united. What unites us? The love that we have for God, the love that we have for Jesus, the love that we have for one another, the love that comes down and flows through us, individually and collectively. You know, when we do something as a church, as a congregation, as a group of people, something in love, it's awesome. It really is. When you do something on your own for someone else, it also is awesome. And it really is. We're united in love. We're united by our love. Who do we love? Obviously, each other. Fellow Christians all around the world, whether in the ELCA or not, doesn't matter. We also love those who are not Christian. Again, we're just to love, not to judge, not to go out and say, I'm going to love you if you become a good Lutheran like me. No, that's not the case. We're simply to love. Love of neighbor, love of other people, encompasses all our social responsibilities, everything. And our neighbor is not only somebody in need, but it's everyone, whether they're in need or not. No exceptions. Our neighbor can be misinterpreted, and often is, I've found, as love for a like-minded person who looks pretty much like me. No, that's not true Christian love. Christian love loves everyone, whether they're like-minded or not, whether they look like me or not. Doesn't matter. We're to love. Love is only Christian if it can and does include people who differ from ourselves. You know, if I say I love everybody in our congregation, that's true. But if I limit it to that, that's not really Christian love. Christian love has no boundaries. My neighbor, the definition of my neighbor, has no boundaries. It'd be easier to say, who isn't my neighbor? I can't think of anybody in this world who isn't my neighbor to one degree or another. So we're to love God, love each other as we love ourselves. Now that is not a command to love ourselves. It's a recognition of the fact that we naturally do. We do love ourselves. And one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Law, or love, is a summation of the obligation of the law. You know, when I say the law, I'm talking about the law of Moses and all the corollaries that go along with it. Seems like they fill up half the Old Testament. That's an exaggeration, of course. But there's a lot of them besides the Ten Commandments. Love God, love your neighbor, takes care of that. Sounds pretty easy, doesn't it? Well, in some respects it is. I read the newspapers every day, not actual physical newspapers, but the headlines and the articles, I think, do I really want to love that person? I don't have a choice. I'm to love them whether I like them or not. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Love is the working out of our faith. We're saved by grace through faith. That faith works out in love. If you have faith, you're to have love. Now for who? For everyone. You know, it might seem like kind of a negative way to express it, but a faith that works itself out through love actually pursues all that is good in life for someone else, for other people. We become secondary to ourselves. Real faith, real honest to goodness, Christian faith, pursues all that is good for our neighbors. It comes about for Christians, us, because of the love of God that's poured out into our hearts. And we don't block it in, we don't dam it up. It flows outwards. It never stops flowing. God never stops loving us. We are to never stop loving others. The love of God is poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And love, of course, is the fulfillment of the law because it carries out all the requirements of the law. And Christ is the end of the law, the goal toward which was aimed in the history of human salvation. Christ kept the law. Not only the letter of the law, but the intent of the law. He kept it for us. And he died. He was crucified on the cross for us. Did he ever stop loving us? No. He loved us then. He loves us now. He'll love us in the future. It doesn't stop. The love that motivated Christ's whole existence fulfills everything that the law stood for. It fulfills everything, and it fills every one of us. Now let me ask you a question. Do you know what I was preaching about? What? Thank you. I'm just teasing, of course. I know you knew. Amen.